Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. Well, we just finished up Rosh Hashanah here, and today is a fast day. Thank goodness. We all need it. Rosh Hashanah here is 2 days of straight eating, meal after meal, washing dishes, setting the table, honey and apples, honey and lechem. It is really nice, but it is a bit much, and it is it's hard, you know. It's hard to keep the preparing and the excitement up. But one thing you don't have to try here is where I live in a small village, a small yeshuv. You hear the shofar all over the place. And they've been practicing here for weeks. So I've been hearing it very early in the morning for the past few weeks. And it's so beautiful to hear it here during the service. And there are so many now different little groups of prayer groups, because there are limits of how many people are allowed in the Beit Knesset, in the synagogue. So we have maybe 6 or 7 different groups throughout our village, throughout our yeshuv. And you hear the shofar going off in all these different groups. It is amazing. It is an amazing thing to hear. And you see, there are different people reading the Torah. There are different people acting the chazan. And I said to my son the other day when we were walking, that is one of the most beautiful things that have come out of this whole corona business, is bringing the prayers outside and making small groups of them. So more than just one person gets to be a leader and gets to be a participant. So I think that's been really nice. Another thing that's great is all my children were home, all of them, the soldier too. And it's nice, you know, they enjoy each other's company. They like to be together. They joke around. They beat each other up. They play. And I don't think that's something anyone can take for granted. I certainly don't. Boys don't always get along. They don't always ease back into the family life and joke with their younger brothers and sisters. But ours do. Ours did. And every time I say goodbye, I hug them and kiss them, and they don't pull away. And that's something else I love. And I guess we have to thank Hashem for these small things that are really actually big things, and look forward to creating more and more memories together as a family. All right, stay with us. We are going to be back shortly. We have a full lineup today of guests.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. Joining us today is an Ole who lives in Givat Shmuel. He is the first person I've ever met who lives in Givat Shmuel. He's going to tell us all about it. I'm interviewing Stephen Tzvi Wolger. Okay, mess up the last name. I practice. Tzvi, you're going to have to help me out here. Please welcome and tell us who you are.
Hi, Natalie. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
So, it's a tough last name, Wolglinter. We made Aliyah with my wife, and at that point we had one daughter. Now, thank God, we have 4.
In 2010. Wait, 2010. All right, so now it's 2021. You've been here 11 years. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
And you came, wait a second. You told me earlier that you're 34. So you came, you were 23 years old.
Yes.
Okay.
I came on Aliyah, actually. I was in Israel beforehand. I grew up in Toronto. I had I grew up in a very religious Zionist background, very affiliated with Bnei Akiva. I was even the head of my SNF of my branch of Bnei Akiva in Toronto. And I came to yeshiva, and while I was in yeshiva, I also drafted into the army with the yeshiva. I served in Nahal. I was a Negavist, the machine gunner. After the army, I got married. I met my wife while I was in the army. She was studying here in seminary. And we moved, after we got married, we moved to Chicago. She's from Chicago, in order to finish her degree and that I could do my college degree. And after we finished, we made Aliyah.
All right. So I just want to jump in. When you said you came here for yeshiva, do you mean after high school, you came here for like one of these programs?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So you came here for one of the
yeshiva Chalavim. Which is the head of the yeshiva.
Right. And people call this the gap year.
Yes.
Okay. So those of you listening, this is an interesting phenomenon that has gained a lot of momentum, I think, the past 10, maybe 20 years. The religious, modern Orthodox North Americans don't go to college after high school. They go to Israel instead. And they are, you know, populating these different programs throughout Israel. You just mentioned one, Shalavim, which is a whole campus in itself. But there are different programs for girls, right? Different programs for boys. There might be even be programs for non-religious Jews, but they come here instead of college. And they do 1 year, maybe 2 years. And then they go and start with their college if they go back. Some of them even stay. You're one of the ones who, it sounds like you stayed. You stayed and went and joined the army.
That's right.
Okay, so kol hakavod.
That's right.
I'm sure you had meaningful service, and you really helped us over here. So thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. No, it was an amazing experience. And it was a certain dream of mine. So it filled me with a lot of pride. And it was really a big merit for me to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then obviously, ultimately, you know, making Aliyah in 2010 was fulfilling was a major dream in our lives. And I pretty much at that point started, I guess, what would become rabbinical training, that ultimately I'd be a rabbi, where I serve today. We just started actually a new position in Givat Shmuel, and we are working with Olim, mainly primarily with students who have made Aliyah from North America, and are going to, the majority are going to Bar Ilan University. I work for both the OU, the Orthodox Union, JLIC, Jewish Learning Initiative on campus, as well as Mizrahi, and Bar Ilan serves as a critical partner. And we are here to support students who have made Aliyah, who are also living that dream, primarily living in Givat Shmuel, which is the neighboring community to Bar Ilan. And there really are tens, really hundreds of student Olim who are living here. And we are providing that framework and support for them, both in terms of their Aliyah and their studies and to be a, you know, religious growth, as well as any help that we can and support that we can give them in their lives. It's an amazing community.
Okay, that is amazing. Tell us a little bit about that community, because you say support them, but you're talking about student support. And students have a different kind of support than maybe families. But you can get into the kind of support, but tell us a little bit about the community itself, Givat Shmuel. I've heard this name tossed around here and there. I thought it was just like a college town. Where is it exactly? Is it in between Petah Tikva and Tel Aviv?
Yes. So it is right on the border of Petah Tikva, not very far from Tel Aviv, very much in the... was referred to as the Merkaz, the center of Israel. It's a very small city, not in terms of population, but in terms of size. It's a very, very small city, but there are many people who live here. It's primarily buildings, apartment buildings and condos, not that many homes, so they can cram in, I guess, more people that way. It's really a beautiful, beautiful city that is really... on the up and coming in terms of development. It's just becoming more and more beautiful by the day, the work that the city is putting into it. There are actually a lot of Olim who are here from North America, from South America, from France. You'll hear all different languages while you're walking the streets, even though you still will hear primarily Hebrew. There's a large religious Zionist community in Givat Shmuel. Maybe even the majority of the city is would fall in the category of religious Zionists. Many are affiliated with Bar Ilan because it does border on Bar Ilan University, but many don't and are just living here, have lived here for many years. There is a little bit of a phenomenon of people moving in and leaving because the student population, you know, they come and the younger students, they're here for a couple of years and then they leave. But there's also a great phenomenon. We see this also by Olim, who come, maybe when they come when they're young, they do university, and then they meet, they get married, they start building their family and decide to stay here as well. So there are definitely many families who have been living here for over a decade and have, you know, really started to build their lives here as well. So it's really a thriving community with a big diversity. And people are very, very warm and very, very helpful. They want to hug. I'll just give you an example. We have a WhatsApp group, and this is also for just Israelis who are living in the community. And if anybody needs a meal or anything, we just post on the group, you know, hey, someone's looking for, a new Ole is looking for a meal on second day of Rosh Hashanah, and, you know, within 30 seconds, you already have a couple of responses of people willing to host. So it's really beautiful.
Right. What kind of employment opportunities are there, aside from the university, which is probably the primary one in the region? What else draws people there?
So I believe because of the central location, it's very easy to get to Tel Aviv, Herzliya, Ramat Gan. Where there's a lot of business opportunities. So a lot of our community members, even those that are still students, a lot of them also have part-time jobs. They're working in Tel Aviv, Herzliya, and Ramat Gan, maybe even Petah Tikva, because, like I guess, it's central location. It's a very it's just easy to get to the different job opportunities in the area.
Okay, so you're like a bedroom community of those bigger of those high-techy areas, I guess.
Yeah,
because absolutely. I don't think people go to work in Givat Shmuel. It's I guess
right.
What you call it.
Right, let's go to work in Givat Shmuel. It's more of the way they live.
Uh-huh. All right, well, what can you tell our listeners? Some of them are Olim, some of them are on the fence, about maybe your own experience that can encourage them to get off that fence and start filing their Aliyah papers with Nefesh B'Nefesh and maybe consider moving to Givat Shmuel. What do you have to tell us?
Absolutely. So, first of all, making Aliyah is really a dream, and it's an amazing experience. There are bumps along the road, just as expected. There's bureaucracy here. But there's bureaucracy in any country, but it's a very different type of life here. There's a lot of life. People try to live. Something I always notice, which is always beautiful, is that the cafes are always full. It doesn't matter what time it is. People are out living and enjoying life, having experiences, making friends. You know, we just had, we were invited to a meal of many people from the community. You know, there must have been at least, 25 people who didn't even necessarily know each other, who got together to have a meal, new people, old people, just to meet, to talk. People are very friendly. People are always trying to reach out, meet people, have experiences, and support also. So this is, especially in Givat Shmuel, and especially for young Olim, there's a really an amazing community here with amazing support that's looking to, you know, welcome people in, people who are new, provide, you know, groups for them to hang out with. And, you know, if someone's looking, you know, where do I get this? Where do I get that? You know, there's always people responding, trying to point you in the right direction, where you can sign up for this, or where you can find a handyman for that. There's just people who have gone through that experience.
That's a great, that's a real community. We're going to have to end our interview, but I want to thank you, Tzvi, and I want to speak to our listeners. If you have any questions about Givat Shmuel, direct them to me, Natalie at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and I will get those questions directly to Tzvi because he is right there in the thick of things in Givat Shmuel. And you'll be our Givat Shmuel expert. Is that okay with you, Tzvi?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Have an easy fast, and we're counting down the hours now. We're almost done.
Thank you very much. Great speaking with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller.
And I'm Matt Zucker.
Join us for Lighten Up, where we take a look at the week's current events in Israel and from around the Jewish world through a humorous lens.
If you've been paying attention during these crazy times, you know that it's a challenge to parody life anymore. But join Steve and I as we give it the old college try. Not only is being happy an obligation, but life is just too short to take it all so seriously.
So join me, Steve Miller.
And me, Matt Zucker.
For Lighten Up every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Israel, only on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. Our second guest today is a newly arrived Ola from right outside of Philadelphia. Her name is Devorah Perez. She arrived August 5th. That is just about a month and change. So welcome, Devorah. Welcome to the show and tell us all about your Aliyah.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Well, we made Aliyah about a month ago, like you said. It's been wonderful. We live in a community, Kochav Yaakov, which is just extremely warm and welcoming. The community provided meals when we first got here. We were obviously in Bidud. And it's just been wonderful. Obviously, there are those typical things acclimating and the bureaucracy of it all, which is to be expected. And I think going in with an open eye, knowing that those things might be a little bit challenging, was definitely beneficial. My husband speaks Hebrew. He's actually an Ola. He's a returning Ola, so he, you know, he's a little bit more familiar, and him speaking Hebrew definitely is helpful.
But so far,
so good.
Good. Well, that's a big leg up if you come here with an Israeli speaker.
Yes.
You have so much you don't have to stress over that the rest of us do. So, you know, lucky you is all I've got to say. Lucky you. But, you know, even, you know, the returning Israelis, they are coming home to a different place than when they had left. And, you know, I don't know when your husband left, but why don't you tell us a little bit about the settling in process? Let's say that, because tell us, you know, do you have children? Do you have to get furniture? Did you rent your house? Did you buy your house? How did you find a place to live? How did you choose Kochav Yaakov?
Sure. So we have two children, a 2-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter. We found Kochav Yaakov. We were looking, you know, last year during COVID, we were not able to obviously come for a pilot trip. So my friend actually lived on the Yishuv. She was my roommate in seminary. So I was aware of it. I had visited once. And we kind of just spoke with a bunch of different people. We checked out maybe one other place that was more English-speaking. We wanted some place that would be, you know, a soft landing. So I'm learning Hebrew. So it definitely would have been a little bit too much to go to a straight Hebrew speaking yeshiv. And we didn't want to be in Yerushalayim. It was just too much. We lived there for a while, both of us after high school. And my husband was in the army. So we knew we wanted somewhere that was more of a tight knit community. And so we spoke with my friend, and then she connected us with people around in the community, and they all had the same thing to say, which was, it's the warmest community. There's so much chesed going on around here, and it's just a place to be. So that's how we decided to move here. We did have a concern about finding an apartment because it's such a in-demand area. There was not a lot of housing. So we braced ourselves, and we knew that this whole process, we would have to have a lot of faith, which is interesting. My daughter's name is Emunah, which means faith. So we knew we would have to practice that. And we just kind of kept track of what was coming on the market in terms of rentals. And something came up. We really had to push to see it.
Slow down, because this is very, very good information, and I want to blast it out exactly what you did. And you're saying, you know, when something came up. What do you mean? What do you mean came up? It's not like you were looking at the newspaper.
Right. So we were part of, make sure to join all of the for rent groups in the area. So there are local WhatsApp groups that we joined, and anytime something came up, we would reach out. But actually, the place that we found through Yachtsdayim, which is the website that, you know, they have a lot of here, and they have apartments listed. So maybe one or two came up every couple of months. And the apartment that we found, we wanted something with enough bedrooms to eventually have guests, and there are not a lot of options like that here. So we kind of just had to push.
Okay, wait. Let me just jump in here. First of all, Yachtsdayim, I think, is a Hebrew site. Is it an English site, or is it just a Hebrew site?
So it's in Hebrew, but if you use Google Chrome, it will translate it to English for you.
All right, so everyone listening should be familiar with the site, because that's where we got some of our baby items in very good condition. Yachtsdayim literally means second hand. And all over Israel uses this site, and you can find amazing bargains here and such good quality stuff that you're not going to find maybe in your own little yeshuv where people have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. Some of these people selling their strollers have had one child, and that's all they're going to have. They live in Tel Aviv. So it's a great resource. Now, you know, amazing that Deborah is telling us she found her apartment there. You can also find cars there. You can find furniture there. You can find everything there. But my question to you is, if you were in America in your home and you were depending on this site, how did that really work? How did that go? Usually, I think people want to see with their own eyes the apartment they're going to live in. Did you just, you know, say we're not going to have that luxury and just go with it?
Yeah, I mean, we accepted from the beginning that things were not going to be typical American style. So, you know, and it kind of panned out very un-American. So something came up, we had to keep texting and calling basically the owners of the apartment referred us to the current tenants, and the current tenants were not, you know, they had no stake in the game to show us the apartment. So we kind of just had to keep messaging them and calling them over and over. Finally, they showed it to us. My friend,
now you say showed you. What do you mean? What do you mean showed you? What? They took pictures?
So my friend ran down the block. She said, you can come look at it in half an hour. I called my friend. I'm like, are you available? She said, okay. She took her kids. She ran down the block. And she went to see the apartment for me, and she videoed it, and she sent it to me. That's the way it works around here.
All right. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. And I want all our listeners to be aware. That's how the world works now. And that's how it's going to be for all of you moving to Israel. And it's okay. And it's working. And we're going with it. And hey, that's how we're going to do things from now on. It's fine. And it worked. You know, you're here. You're in an apartment. And you have running water, right? So go.
We have running water. Yes. It definitely was a little bit shocking the way it was presented. You will not find nice, tidy pictures on the web of your apartment. Everything will just be as is. There'll be clutter all over, and you kind of have to just see past it and realize, you know, that's not the point. As long as you have space you're looking for, and that's kind of it.
And you're also saying something here. I don't know if you did it purposefully, but you wanted to live in a small community, I guess a village. And all of you listening, it's really great if you find a place that you're comfortable in. Don't worry about the small stuff. Don't worry about the actual living quarters, okay? Those you can fix up, you can change, you'll grow into them, you'll add on. But the community itself, like the one you found, Kochav Yaakov, sounds great. You didn't say much about it. I'm going to ask you in a minute. But that's the big picture. That's much more important than any specific apartment, okay? Deborah, tell us a little bit about this place. You're the first person I've ever interviewed who lives in Kochav Yaakov, I think. I think maybe a year ago I interviewed someone. But I believe it is right past the checkpoint going north out of Pisgat Zev. And you're the first yeshuv we pass on the left, right?
I'm pretty sure we're the second yeshuv. But I don't know the area enough yet. I'm obviously a little, you know, I'm still new. But I'm pretty sure there's an earlier yeshuv. But regardless, it's pretty close to Yerushalayim, so The commute's great. You want to go out for a date night with your husband. It's just a bus ride away or a car. But, you know, the community itself is really what makes the people make the community here. Right. It's primarily, I think, a Sephardi yeshiv that's religious, but there is a huge variation in the different levels of religion here, which is one of the things that pulled us here also. We didn't really... You know, a lot of times you hear that moving to Israel, you have to fit in a specific box in order to move to that community, much more so than in America. And we're still searching for where we fit. I don't know that we'll ever fit into a box. So finding out that this is somewhere where you can be accepted no matter what type, you know, where you're holding, and you can have room to grow, and there's a ton of different shiurim and ways to grow, and there is an Anglo community here amongst the Sephardi Israeli community, it really made it the perfect place for us.
Nice. How big, how many people live there? Do you know?
That's an excellent question. One that I do not know. It's, I mean, okay. The entire yeshiva is maybe a half a square mile, maybe a square mile.
Yeah, but that doesn't, I mean, like I live in a place and there are 190 families. Okay. There are approximately 1400 people. I know every family has about five kids. Like I know numbers. But Kochav Yaakov, I passed it. And it's trees, and you know it's on that big hill, and it looks like
beautiful.
A big, yeah.
It's beautiful,
I mean,
but the
deep ground trees. I mean, big trees and dark green. I don't see that here.
Yeah, it's green, which is something I was surprised to see because you're amongst a lot of mountains and dust. And,
yeah.
But
yeah.
when you're actually in the yeshiva, it's pretty green, and there's a lot of houses here. So I guess that would make the population less because there's not so many apartment buildings. There's actually no big buildings. There are just a bunch of houses, and there are people who build on top, and they have apartments. There's a neighboring community, Tel Tzion, which is a Haredi community, and they have, I think they're all apartment buildings, so they have a much bigger population there.
Maybe. It's correct. Well, I believe my information has told me, I just got some information from my researcher who says that Kochav Yaakov has about 8,000 people. That is sizable.
Okay, it's news to me.
Yeah, how many? I mean, how many Beit Knessets? Do you have choices of what of a few?
Well, there's one large one. Sorry, I'm actually outside and there's buses, so apologize.
That's okay.
There's one very very large one, which is the main shul, and I think there's a bunch of different minyanim there. They have the Ashkenaz minyan, which is where most of the Anglos or the English speakers go. And then there's a bunch of little break-off shuls where people have them either. I saw one in the street, on Rosh Hashanah. People have them.
That's all happening now because of Corona. But in any case, we've got to end it. I'm so glad we caught you. Welcome to Israel. Shana Tova. And thank you for joining us today on the program. I wish you all the best.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, bye-bye.
Are you tired of political correctness and the fear that you might offend someone?
I'm not afraid to offend you.
Wow, look who's talking tough.
One has to be tough to keep sane today.
Hi, I'm Alan Skorsky.
And I'm Bella Seabrow.
And join us every Wednesday for The Definitive Wrap as we interview the most sought-after guests and expose progressive trends that masquerade as enlightenment but actually destroy our freedoms.
We are the No Woke Zone, so buckle up to this exciting show.
Buckling up, but I'm driving.
Sure, you can drive, but I'm the navigator.
Tune in for the No Nonsense, The Definitive Wrap Show, every Wednesday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. We have our last guest, Aliza Ben Shalom from Philadelphia, now living in Pardes Chana for, I think, 6 months. She passed her six-month anniversary recently. And Aliza just had her first Rosh Hashanah in Israel with her family, and she's going to tell us all about it. Aliza, welcome.
Thank you, Natalie.
Wonderful.
Good to be here with you.
Excited. Very excited to talk to you. It's been a few weeks, and you're basically a regular here. So let's catch up. How has it been? How has the Chag been for you?
So the holiday was really beautiful, and we very much enjoyed time with friends. You know, we made sure to have meals so that we weren't by ourselves. I think even back in Philly, we sometimes had family, and sometimes, you know, we did community things. It really depended on the year and what everybody was doing. So it's not unusual for us to spend, you know, a holiday with friends. But it was just extra sweet because we did just pass the 6-month mark. September 1st was our 6-month Aliyah-versary.
Right. And
yeah, we did 2 meals in, 2 meals out. Went to one of the local synagogues here, which was really lovely, beautiful services, and it's just a really welcoming community.
It's so nice.
Everybody
That's
was
so great.
Really friendly.
And you, I know a few people have recently arrived. Lou Lassoff, I think is his name, came maybe in the past 2 weeks. And someone else also, another single man.
The Bachners, friends from Cherry Hill, and they have 5 kids, and their younger three are similar to our younger three kids' ages as well.
And they came also to Paris Chana?
They also came to Paris Chana. Yeah, I know. Everybody says, "But how do you get all these people? Why are there so many Philadelphia people and Cherry Hill? And what's going on? Why is everybody moving?" But
well, that's really nice, though. That's very comforting. Very like comfortable. Look, every new family that comes becomes a new part of the community. You'll help each other. Awesome.
Yeah, it's been very helpful, actually. And I think also the kids are in the same school, so the teachers, everybody kind of got the memo, like, these are the new Olim, this is what we have to do to help them.
Yeah, you actually broke them in, you know, you broke them in, and now everyone will have it a little easier, and that's great, you know, it's good. What was different about Rosh Hashanah here versus Rosh Hashanah back in the old country? Can you describe it? Any of the differences? Did you do a Seder? Did any of the families you went to? Okay.
Yeah, we did, but that's normal for us. That's not different. I think what was different, I was sitting in shul. There was one prayer that they were doing that I wasn't super familiar with, and the lady sitting next to me pulled out like a sheet of paper that was, you know, it had, you know, words printed on it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Okay, this is maybe not in the Siddur. I don't exactly know what it is. And she just kind of leaned over, and she shared the page with me, and everybody was singing along. And I started following along. And just at that moment, I actually got very emotional, and I teared up. And I felt like, I don't know you, and you don't know me, and I'm in a foreign country. I don't even know what we're up to or where we're at. And you're like, she just...
Including me. Yeah, she's
natural.
Including you.
Yeah, it was so natural. It was just like, here. And she's talking to me in Hebrew, like a little bit whispering in Hebrew. I'm like, she doesn't even know if I understand her or not. She's got no clue where I'm
at. So cute.
I just queued up, and I just thought, like, I'm home. Like, you don't have to know anything about anybody. You reach out when you see what people need, and you just figure it out as you go. And it just, I don't know, it was a moment that really, really hit me.
Well, it says a lot. It actually does say that you're in a community where all this is the ingathering of the exiles, Aliza, you know, and that's what
Feeling
we are.
It.
And all speaking a different language, coming from a different place, but we all belong here. And whoever's here first will take the newcomers like a mother bird to the baby birds and, you know, help them along. And that's what that woman did. She helped you along. It's beautiful. It is natural. And we have to do that also to the next group that comes. And, you know, when you start to know your way around, and this is the way you are anyway, I know you are, but, you know, we all help each other, and it'll be easier for the next group and the next group and the next group. And, you know, we're all going to just keep coming. At this point, we're all going to keep coming.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that's happening. And I see building going on everywhere. I was in Jerusalem today. I mean, you've seen what's going on with, I think it's called Ramot Shlomo. It's an extremely big neighborhood they've been working on for years. It's done.
Yeah,
there are skyscrapers tremendous. Everywhere. People are moving to Israel. They're coming in from all over. And despite the problems we have here, the politics here, the terror here, this is the place to be. This is the best place to be. And
I really get that impression from people, and they still, you know, we went to a parent teacher conference meeting, which was a surprise to me that, you know, just the day before Rosh Hashanah, you're going to go to a parent-teacher meeting. And we went to the meeting, and they're also, they're welcoming there. Everybody is, you know, who are you? What are you doing? Why do you keep taking photographs of what's up on the blackboard that they keep changing the slides? I said, because I'm using Google Translate in my Hebrew. I said, my husband doesn't speak Hebrew. They're like, okay. Because the camera was making a little bit of like a snapshot noise. I was like, sorry about that.
That's so funny. That's so funny. So you're probably the only, English speaker in the school. Or is that true?
There's a couple. So in my oldest son's class in the sixth grade, there's really about five or six boys actually that speak English, and they threw them all into the same class. And that's been tremendously helpful for him.
Yeah.
And our new friends that just came have, one of their other kids in our second grade class with one of our children. So that's also been helpful. I called her. I said, wait, is there a parent-teacher conference? Is it at 5 o'clock? She's like, no, 7:45. I was like, oh, okay, good. Between the two of us.
Good. Good. Now you have a friend.
I think we'll now I have a friend. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So we've been working hard to do that. And it's just amazing. Everybody keeps asking, you came? When did you come? You just came 6 months ago? You came during the pandemic? How? What's your story? Like, they're fascinated by it. And
right.
And I think people are also surprised, like, during such a time period that people are still coming. I said, oh, yeah, we came, and more people are coming. And
said,
it's so wonderful. Welcome, welcome home. And
it's good. It's good. It's very good.
Yeah, it's been very
good.
And
now you will experience your first Sukkot here, which is going to be awesome. There's no place like it.
Yeah.
But we just bought
our sukkah because we had one in America, and we did not bring it. Well, it was like a built-in one, so we didn't bring it with us.
Okay,
and my husband
what'd you get?
Went shopping. I don't know. My husband said, I told him, I said, get something very big. We love to have guests. He said, you can't get very big. You got to get two and stick them together. I said, okay, get two. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
Just make sure that we get what we need so we can have lots of guests. We're going to host actually a singles event at our house. Thursday night of Sukkot.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You know, you're lucky. You're very lucky because you actually dove right in to your work when you came here, and you never really took a break. You didn't need to, because what you do is like the matchmaking, the dating coach. It's such a need. It's such a need.
It's especially hard right now. It's very hard for singles during the holidays. This is probably one of the hardest times for them because they're not, even if they're with family, everybody wants to know what's the story and when are they going to meet somebody and what's going to happen. And
it's
very, a lot of pressure and a very challenging time.
I keep meeting single people of all ages, in their 40s even. I've been finding people and they're, it's tough. And some of them actually are like resigned to being single forever. Do you come across that in your different groups?
I do. And I tell them, the one that's not going to find is the one that stops looking. So don't stop looking. I really encourage people really not to give up unless they don't want it and they're absolutely not looking for it and it's not for them. But if they really do want it, even though it's a hard process and a long process, and sometimes overwhelming, that, if you don't give up, you're the one that really has a shot at making it happen. So
you say making it happen. You're talking about making a match. You're talking about finding your spouse.
I'm talking about, finding your person, getting married, building the life that you want, that you've been dreaming of. Some singles, they've been single their whole lives. Some have been divorced and had difficult situations, and now they're trying to, do a second go at it and to make it something special. And whatever it is, there's dozens of singles of all ages and all stages and all backgrounds. And a person, the sheriff is here. Their soulmate is here. It's just a matter of getting through the process, finding them and building that connection, which takes a lifetime of work.
Sometimes they're here and they just don't see them. They're like, just happened to be the wrong place. They haven't been, they just need to be put in the right place. And you're actually, I think, creating like the opportunity for them to be in the right place. So people
I
need
hope.
To go.
I'm looking for. I hope so. I'm really looking forward.
Yeah,
to,
I mean that's really
having,
what you're doing.
We're gonna have singles like in their 30s and 40s, and see if it's something that helps bring people together. That's our goal.
That's That's a good goal, and I think it's working. It has to work. It has to. It's very sad, and it's hard. I mean, especially for an Ola to be here, or an Olet, a new immigrant to be here alone, you know, they'll have a much more joyful time, I think, with a mate, right?
Right?
And, you know.
If it's the right one, yes.
Yeah. If it's the wrong one, it'll be horrible. Correct. Car crash. But you're doing great work.
If it's
doing,
like, a difficult one, it could be a difficult situation.
Yes, absolutely. Well, good. I'm going to let you go. We're winding down the show here. They're going to cut me off any minute. But I'm so glad I caught you. And I want to wish you Shana Tova and all the best for this year. I will keep talking to you every few weeks and keep on seeing all the advancements you're making with your family in Israel in your new home. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yofi. Bye-bye.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.